Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message, some teaching we've been sharing from the book of Nehemiah, learning about spiritual warfare. And as we looked at thus far at what Nehemiah experienced, first of all, we knew he had a vision from the Lord. He had a purpose. He had a call, and he was obedient to that. God gave favor. He was wise and careful when he arrived. He thought out a plan, obviously much prayer, waiting on God. But the enemy rose up to prevent success, and his modus operandi is the same today as it was against him. First, there could be ridicule. Sometimes we can be made to feel foolish for our stand for the Lord. Then he tries, in Nehemiah's case, wrath and contempt. It gets stronger, a little bit more powerful, perhaps engaging others, gossiping, talking against you. Thirdly, then there's conspiracy, and they became even more upset and began to plan war. And of course, he set up a watch so that would not succeed. Fourthly, there was crafty suggestion, which is the way of the world. You know, we're not getting anywhere like this. Why don't we just get together, have an open and frank discussion, and talk about our differences, and we can work out, have an understanding. It sounds so wonderful, except that there was nothing. He had no purpose, no reason in talking to them. He said, "I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." And they tried four times. They wouldn't take no for an answer. Then there was an open letter of intimidation, which said that he was being disloyal, that he was, this is in chapter 6, that he was trying to be a king, setting himself a king, and that he was going to revolt against the king who had sent him. And he said, "You're lying. That's not true." And then finally, the fifth attack, if you will, as far as the attack of the enemy from without, there's more. He has opposition from within the camp, but we'll look at that in a moment. It was that of personal fear. I think perhaps one of the most powerful weapons the enemy has is to get us in fear in terms of our welfare, our health, our person, our life. And we should always remember, beloved, to pray for the persecuted church. There are those who are suffering persecution, they are suffering torture, they are laying down their lives because they refuse to compromise for the Lord. They will not turn, they will not deny their faith in Jesus. And so what we see here is in, again, the sixth chapter, it says, verse 10, "Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel." Oh my goodness, who was, you can see I don't have a Hebrew tongue. "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." He's being warned. This is an assassination plot. And he said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." But he's one of the fellows I want to meet in heaven, I tell you what. "And lo, I perceived," again, discernment, "that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me." Do you know why? "Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and to do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." He prays, Nehemiah does, "Think thou upon them according to their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and on the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear." So you see, the enemy will do He'll come against us in terms of our own well-being, our health, our life, and he will attempt that. And so he said, should such a man as I flee? And that, obviously, that becomes very personal, their well-being, our welfare, the self-jeopardy, personal loss. But he knew, he was so convinced what he was doing was for the Lord. And beloved, that kind of bravery, that kind of courage is birthed in those who will stand and not turn aside, those who are laying down their lives even now. You know, we've been so blessed in this country. We don't know what the future holds, but would we be as adamant, as strong as our brother was? And now let's move to yet another attack. If that wasn't enough, we see there was opposition from within the camp. And that's sometimes even worse from that which is from without. And that came from the weariness and discouragement of the workers. In Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, let me turn over verse 10. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, though, so that we're not able to build the wall. It seemed like such a massive undertaking. They were definitely discouraged. And of course, one can appreciate in the state it was in how easy it would have been to be discouraged. That's why you have to see with the eyes of faith and trust God to be your source and your provision. And the church today is being hampered in many places by heaps of theological rubbish, the theories of men, the materialism of the unbeliever. And Nehemiah overcame the discouragement of friends by steadfast courage. In chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And so not only was there prayer, but there was doing whatever was necessary in a practical way to overcome that discouragement. And yet there was another problem within. It's in verses 11 through 23, it says, and it came to pass when the Jews that dwelt by them came. What do we see here? Well, these would be the families of those men who were building the wall, who lived in the villages round about. The workmen, amazingly, it says they never went home. They worked from the rising of the sun until the stars appeared. Talk about commitment. Then they slept on the spot against a night attack by the enemy. That's verse 22. Let's see if I can, well, okay. The point is, they were so committed, the families, and this is the heart-wrenching part, they came up to the city 10 times begging their men to return to their homes before the enemy came to destroy them. And so what do we see here? Using loved ones, this is a picture of fear of the enemy and of basically a selfishness to have their menfolk with them. And an even greater than that is unbelief, their lack of vision, that they did not grasp what God was doing. They were just concerned about their own welfare, their own needs. And sometimes, beloved, this can be our greatest battle. The open declared enemy said, you know, we will stop it. The depressed worker said, we won't be able to do this. The half-hearted said, success is impossible. And we see selfish greed in chapters 5, basically, well, 1 through 12. The rulers, it says, those who were in authority, a great cry of the people of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. It says, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some mortgage their lands, their vineyards, their houses. They borrowed money, and their flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. Their sons, their daughters were being brought into bondage to be their servants. And Nehemiah got very angry when he heard their cry and these words. Then he consulted with myself, he sought the Lord, and God's admonition and guidance to him, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. And so it is not, he said in verse 9, it's not good that ye do so. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? He asked them to leave off the usury, to restore to them their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses. And they said, we will restore them, and we will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests, took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. And so he took measures to relieve practical economic distress. Many of the people were forced because of poverty to mortgage all that they had, sell their children. He persuaded those who were lending to follow his example, charge no interest, restore land, and unlike former governors, Nehemiah not only took no allowances for himself and his associates, which he could have done, but in fact provided food daily for a large number of men out of his own resources. And so, against all this opposition, Nehemiah pressed his cause and encouraged his workers. To half of them he gave trowels, to the other half spears, shields, and bows, and of course the swords, the sword of the Spirit. And then, setting watchmen at intervals, equipped with trumpets for alarm, they worked with prayer and determination, and so the walls were built. Here we see the unity of the body and the spirit of one accord. Praise God. Well, I'm going to stop here, and we will continue on in tomorrow's broadcast, just sharing a brief testimony from a sister writing from Sequim, Washington. I bless my Heavenly Father for you, Judith, and reread your letters often. Thank you for the blessing so many. Thank you for blessing so many lives with God's messages. And that's because it's the Lord who touches our hearts and causes his word to be made alive in our hearts. Amen. Another brother writing from Fresno, you and your ministry is heartfelt and beautiful to all of us who have been graced with it. Thank you for your continued help, prayer, and encouragement. I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.